Well, as I mentioned last week in the show called Clues from the Mural Mystery, it may be time for us to start looking at like some really fundamental root causes for the madness and insanity that just seems to be accelerating every day. Rather than chasing symptoms, we may want to find out what the underlying disease is. And over the weekend, I discovered an article from our friend and former employer, Roger Simon. It was listed on Instapundit, but it actually provides some real insight into something that I hadn't really considered. The article's in the Epoch Times, and it's actually about Florida Governor DeSantis. And Roger's headline is, "Has DeSantis become more dangerous to Democrats than Trump?" But as he goes through the story being that DeSantis holds a very rational, reasonable, logical, and factually based discussion about COVID-19 and all the rest of it, and YouTube promptly drops it immediately, goes down the memory hole, disappears completely, and no way to tell what the Florida governor may have said about this issue of pressing national concern. So, Roger Simon used a term that I thought was really interesting. He said, "Beware the fascists with Asperger syndrome," referring to the people at YouTube and Facebook and all the rest. And I thought, you know, that actually bears a little deeper look. Roger writes, "Interesting here is why big tech is the way it is, why its leaders, with the exception of Peter Thiel and a few others, so uniformly think the way they do. Given their history and the monomaniacal focused manner in which they got there, I would wager many of them suffer from Asperger's, a neurodevelopmental disorder characterized by significant difficulties in social interaction and nonverbal communication, along with restricted and repetitive patterns of behaviors and interests." Roger goes on to say, "They get technology, they get business, but they don't really get people. They don't read widely, only within their world. Their machines have revealed the truth, and they want to make sure the world follows their orders, which are, after all, politically correct. When they censor, they are doing what they are convinced is the right thing. They are what we may call Asperger's fascists." There's an interesting point to be made here. Because we, again, trying to get to the root causes rather than the symptoms. I look at them blocking my videos or banning Alfonso Rachel completely or taking down a video from a governor of a state as acts of intellectual malice, as acts of volition. But it may be much simpler than that. For example, let's go to the Wikipedia page on Asperger's syndrome. There's a couple of interesting things here. Before I read some of this stuff, however, one of the pictures that they use to associate people with Asperger's is this one right here. Again, it's from Wikipedia. And as you can see, it's a young boy stacking cans, and the caption is, "People with Asperger's syndrome often display restricted or specialized interests, such as this boy's interest in stacking cans." I saw that picture, and I realized that the censorship of people like me and Steve Crowder and Stefan Molyneux, all of this stuff, all of it, may not be so much that they disagree with our politics or even that they don't understand them. It may come down to something as simple as the people who are making these decisions see people like me and all the rest of us as guys who do nothing but come in and knock down the cans. That is an important thing to understand, because if this theory that Roger Simon puts forward is true, and there's certainly some truth to it, there's no question about that. If you know anybody who's in tech, this is not a big reach. Then we, again, may be fighting the wrong fight. We may be chasing the symptoms rather than the actual causes. We may be saying that they're censoring us because they disagree with our worldview or they have some larger agenda or so on. But if this is even partially true, it may just be that any opinion that runs contrary to the opinion that they have is somebody knocking down their ability to stack cans, because that's kind of what their focus is limited on. If you think about their politics and their objectives as a very limited, very focused sort of objective, which is one of the definitions of Asperger's. And if an Asperger's child in this example is utterly fixated with stacking one can on top of the other, you could make the case that the people who are running YouTube and Alphabet and Google and all the rest are stacking cans. They're basically taking one of their ideas and putting another one on top, and all of these ideas are simply cans to them. And when somebody comes along with a differing opinion, we've knocked down their cans. And they simply brush that away and stack the cans again. This is not to get them off the hook. On the contrary, it's to say that it is entirely possible, if not likely, that the means of communication that we experience here in 21st century America and 21st century world, for that matter, is controlled by people with serious mental disorder. That's a fundamental possibility that is so likely it's bordering on a probability. Here's the part that I think clarifies not only what they're doing, but how they're doing it, because I've had limited interaction with them, and this just rang a bell with me. This is another quality that's common in people diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. A lack or dearth of demonstrated empathy affects aspects of communal living for persons with Asperger's syndrome. Individuals with AS experience difficulties in basic elements of social interaction, which may include a failure to develop friendships or to seek shared enjoyments or achievements with others, e.g. showing others objects of interest. It also includes a lack of social or emotional reciprocity, social games, the give-and-take mechanic, and impaired nonverbal behaviors in areas such as eye contact, facial expression, posture, and gesture. A couple of months ago, I did a firewall called Reptiles and Stoners about the congressional testimonies of Twitter's Jack Dorsey and Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, and how unnatural they were, how almost inhuman they were, how fundamentally wrong they appeared. Dorsey was essentially incoherent and virtually incapable of speaking. He may have been completely high, but that may have just been a cover as well to deal with this inability to have a conversation that is threatening to any kind of basic established ideas that he's got. He didn't react or respond to Ted Cruz the way that a normal person would do it. He looked like he was hearing another language from an alien from another planet. Zuckerberg displayed the kind of passive facial expression that is, I think, impossible to imitate unless you have something really fundamentally wrong with you. If you are being questioned by a Senate committee and grilled by a Senate committee, and for hours your face is just a stone mask of impassivity, and your responses are so monotonal, so completely devoid of any emotion, no anger, no enthusiasm, no resentment, no desire to prove things, certainly no sense of humor. All of these things, watching them at the time, struck me as very odd. That's why I did that firewall about that. But now that I look at this, I realize that these symptoms seem to be more or less consistent. And if that's true, then we have got a problem on our hands that is even bigger than the problem that we thought we had on our hands. Because if this theory is true, even to really some degree true, we may be dealing with an issue not so much of trying to convince somebody that there is an other side of the argument, trying to convince somebody or trying to impress upon someone the idea that an interchange of ideas and different opinions and so on is a good thing. We may be making the assumption that we're trying to be rational with people who are not capable of being rational, at least not in this area. We're knocking down their cans, and we have to stop doing that. And there's nothing we can do or say that's going to get through on that particular score. They're not capable of the emotional connection to the entire idea that there might be another point of view that has any validity whatsoever. If this observation on the part of Roger Simon is correct, it not only explains a lot of things, it also goes a long way for us trying to decide how we're going to deal with this Asperger's fascism, this inability to tolerate any differing opinion other than the ones that they already have and the ones that they reinforce amongst themselves, because a very, very small group operating at the top there, and anybody can look at these people on television and realize there's something fundamentally wrong with these people. If Facebook and Google and Alphabet, which controls all of them, YouTube, is in effect the Asperger's Alumni Association, then we have to understand that rational approaches, approaches based on argument, approaches based on historical references aren't going to work because they simply cannot make that connection. They cannot do it. They don't have it. There's something missing that allows them to listen to somebody else's point of view and perceive that there might be something there. This is what the definition of this neurological condition is: the inability to form human connections, the inability to understand other people's emotions, the inability to read people's emotions. So we ought to be thinking about whether or not we're dealing with functional adults in the way we understand the term, because the communication systems of planet Earth are in the hands of these people who exhibit a great many of these symptoms. And if everything that you or I say or do or think or write about, talk about, connections that we make, websites we click to, people that we make friends with in Facebook, all of it. If all of the interconnectivity of the web, that is the entire nervous system of 21st century, is controlled by people who have a clinical inability to form human connections and to be able to empathize with other positions, then we are not going to win an argument of persuasion. There's only one way to stop this, and that is to break them up, is to break up this monopoly that is controlled by people who don't particularly care for people. Interesting, isn't it, that all of these social networks, all of these things that were designed to link people together, and in fact did, what Facebook was supposed to be, what YouTube was, a place for people to put their own experiences on the web for other people to see. Facebook is a place to find out what your cousin who you haven't seen in 7 years is doing. Google used to be a way to find information in a perfectly dispassionate manner. And the invention of fuzzy logic that made Google Google, I typed a letter wrong or I tried to spell bureaucracy and I got the spelling wrong, but it understands what I'm looking for. All of these things started out as noble and good things. But as they began to develop more and more power, and as they began to get more and more stratified and fossilized in their thinking, these social networks became really, genuinely, without hyperbole here, anti-social networks. They are now circuit breakers that are designed to prevent the communication of people with differing opinions. They're designed to cut that connection. And by cutting Florida Governor DeSantis's speech, simply throwing it off of YouTube, that's what they're doing. They're becoming an antisocial network that is preventing people from experiencing other points of view. The more I think about this, the more convinced I become that the ability to let other ideas into their mental landscape is not something that they are capable of doing. It's not something that they don't want to do. I just don't think they're capable of it. If this censorship bothers you enough to really do something about it, then I have two recommendations for you to begin with in terms of understanding precisely what we're up against. The first one is a movie called The Social Network. It's the story of how Zuckerberg started Facebook. And as you proceed through this movie, you begin to realize just what kind of person this is. And it is not a sympathetic portrayal. It's an extremely accurate portrayal of a guy who is a megalomaniac and a malignant narcissist and who is utterly determined to pull this off no matter what the consequences are to his friends and business partners and all the rest. It's a very important movie to understand the mindset of the people that are determining what news you get to hear and whether the Hunter Biden laptop story is released in time to affect an election. And the other video I cannot recommend highly enough. I think it's the most important video on YouTube. In fact, I'm utterly astonished that it's still up on YouTube. But it's called The Selfish Ledger, and I've mentioned it several times before. It is briefly a description of Google's business ideas. It's about the idea that individual people are simply a ledger, a record of all of their mouse clicks and what they plan to do with that information. And the reason that I really, really urge you to watch this movie, it's about 7-8 minutes long, something like that. We've got a link to it in the description below, is not only how horrifying the ideas are, but to me, the thing that really made my blood run cold was the tone of the voice, was the kind of images they chose, the way they graded, color graded the images, the fundamental inhumanity of it. It's Google coming right out and saying, this is what we are doing and what we are going to continue to do. And if you haven't seen The Selfish Ledger, then you are missing a key piece of intelligence in this battle for freedom of speech, which precedes freedom of thought and all the rest of the things that we kind of hold dear.